You good, Tom? All good?
Yes.
All right. We are going to move on to number 12. The Antelope Survey License Allocation. We've got Andy and Andrew. Andrew's here, I know. Is Andy a virtual Andrew? Okay.
Yes. We can share a bit of both. Back and forth, please won't finish.
Andy has something.
And then, yeah, he should go. Go ahead, Andy. We're ready for you.
All right. Good afternoon, yes. Mr. Chairman. Can you see my PowerPoint?
Yes, we've got it.
All right, great. Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, Andy Lindblom here. And today I'm going to provide some updates on the status of pronghorn in the state and an overview of our season recommendations. So what I want to cover is, first I'm going to talk about how the last two hunting seasons went, or the last few hunting seasons went. Then I want to talk about some of the surveys that we do. Then we'll go over our population objectives for each one of our units. And then I'll end with some season recommendations for proposal. So just looking at harvest here over the quite a few years here, this is our total pronghorn harvest. Last year, we harvested about 24 individuals. You can see here, pretty conservative harvest here the past few years. We are in the rebuilding phase. Looking at our different seasons there, that chart there, you can see the buck harvest broke out by different seasons. Obviously, the bulk of our harvest does come from the firearm season, but archers have been harvesting quite a few here these past few years as well. Important part of this graph and of the chart, as you can see, is we had no doe harvest last year nor the year before. Now, we have made some changes in the archery hunting season the past few years, so I wanted to go over a few of those. In 2022, we did change the any antelope licenses to buck only. Some concerns about population growth, we wanted to limit that doe harvest. And then in 2023, after we heard some concerns about non-resident pressure on our pronghorn herds, we did restrict those normal archery licenses that are good on public and private land to 450 for our non-resident archers. And we also created a private land only license, which was unlimited. And you can see the effects on the trend in license sales there for archery pronghorn here. The lower line there is our non-resident license sales. It did have an impact, those regulation changes we made on license sales. We've been holding steady, just slightly below 1,000 there. Our residents, you can see the increase in resident archery license sales there. But since about 2000, we've been bouncing around that 2,000 archery resident licenses. Now, looking at our herd composition data, now we do these herd composition surveys for deer and elk as well, as you may recall. But these are surveys we do in the fall. They're from the ground. And this is where we get our estimates of age and sex ratios. So we get those buck to doe ratios and those fawn to doe ratios. Last year in 2025, staff did a really good job and classified over 6,200 individuals out there. So we got a really good sample to estimate ratios, and our estimate of fawn to does in 2025 was 50 fawns per 100 does. And you can see that is down from our overall statewide average, unfortunately, but it's good that we quantified that, and of course we can account for that when we consider license numbers. Our buck to doe ratios, which I don't have up here, but our buck to doe ratios last year were about 40 bucks per 100 does, so those are holding pretty strong. Now, we also do an aerial survey for pronghorn. We do that every other year, and this was a survey year. This is a fixed wing low level survey. So basically we're flying as low and slow as you can. It's conducted in the springtime. So We have a green background, a light colored animals. Animals are really visible for our biologist to count. It is a systematic design, and we fly the entire primary range. So we get a really good sample of our pronghorn in the state. We're flying about a third of the range, and then we extrapolate to the remaining two thirds. Last time we flew in 2024, our adult estimate was 27,000. Now, when we fly in the spring, we're only getting adults. Fawns haven't quite yet dropped, or the few that have dropped, a lot of them are still in the hiding phase. So this is just an estimate of adults. And then this year, good news. We have an increase in pronghorn population. Our estimate of adults is about 30,000. So what's that look like for trend over time? This is our adult estimate going way back to the 1990s. You can see the most recent peak we had in 2008. That's when we had a lot of pronghorn on the landscape there. You can see we've been kind of rebuilding since then. And again, the good news is that curve is starting to go up. Now, we do have objectives in the state. Our statewide objective, which is just a summation of our unit objectives, it's about 67,000 plus or minus 10,000, basically. That is a preseason estimate, so that includes fawns. And so, obviously, we don't know what fawn drop is going to be this year yet, so we're using a three-year average to estimate what we're going to have this fall. But our estimate is we're going to have about 36,000 pronghorn on the landscape when the hunting seasons begin. Again, we are below objective, but we're heading in the right direction. So pronghorn are not evenly distributed across the range in South Dakota. We are on the eastern edge of the pronghorn range in the nation. We do have a lot more pronghorn the further west you go. But here you can see the distribution. This is the distribution of pronghorn in the state based on our spring aerial survey. And this is a really good distribution map. I do always want to make note that this is spring distribution. These animals do move around quite a bit, and this is not necessarily a great map to use to find hot spots in the fall hunting seasons. So pronghorn are unique in that we have data for every single unit as far as an abundance estimate. So we do have a numeric objective for all of our pronghorn units, and based on how that objective compares with what our estimate is, you can see what direction we need to go in all of our units. You can see a lot of our units here, they're dark blue. We still want to substantially increase numbers. We're well below objective, but we do have a couple light blue units this year, meaning we're starting to approach that objective. And then the green there means we're just about there. We're about where we want as far as pronghorn numbers go. So that's great news. So in summary, we still have a lot of units well below objective, and as you might recall in our action plan, our goal is to get to that objective as quickly as possible. Our aerial survey, we did document about a 12% increase in adults, so that's great news, and we do attribute that to mild winters and our regulation changes that we made the last few years and basically zero doe harvest. So our overall recommendation, and of course, Andrew Norton is going to go into the details of this, but we are recommending that you as a commission, we maintain the current restrictive season regulations that we have in place right now. I recommend that we maintain the buck-only licenses for archery firearm, as well as landowner on your own land. And we also are recommending to keep that use season closed. You will see some slight adjustments in the unit firearm buck license allocation based on the aerial survey results. Overall, pretty minimal change, about a 1% increase in buck licenses. And based on the data we have, we are projecting that the population will continue to increase at about a 5 to 6% annual growth rate. And that's what I have for an update. I'm sure it can stay around for any questions.
Questions of the commission? Andrew, you've got some to ask, correct?
Good afternoon again, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. I'm Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator. And following up with the informational item that Andy presented there in regards to our antelope surveys, he mentioned pronghorn. Obviously, the full name is pronghorn antelope, but in administrative rule, it's defined as the antelope hunting seasons, chapter 4106-23, 4106-24, and 4106-25. We don't have much time for finalizing the license numbers for the antelope season. The reason being, Andy mentioned, we do that spring survey. We wait till we get adequate greenup so we can count at least 85% of the pronghorn, which is an excellent amount of pronghorn that we count, similar to the elk survey, which we have high confidence in. But we need to wait on that till late spring, and then pronghorn is one of the earliest seasons that open in the fall. So we have a really tight turnaround to get those license numbers finalized here today after that aerial survey. So that's why we waited on this presentation till today and didn't share it last month, because the survey was just wrapping up then. So as Andy mentioned, great news that we did count 12% more antelope in this survey. We've been extremely conservative for the past 4 to 6 years in regards to harvest. Totally cut off doe and kid harvest, so that was at zero, and it's just buck harvest last few years. And we've been hoping on good weather conditions to have good fawn recruitment, decent overwinter survival, and hopefully that leads to some of this population increase that we're seeing. As Andy mentioned, still really conservative with the license increase, even though this is male-only harvest. Did not want to increase the licenses too much. Despite being 12% population increase, we're still 40% below that population objective statewide. In addition to looking at just the population, and usually we don't consider the buck harvest having a big impact on the population, but we are starting to look a little bit more at the buck harvest relative to the total population. And this gets more at maybe the hunt quality. We have a lot of those metrics for elk, like elk, we have an age structure metric. For deer, we have a 60% success threshold for any buck licenses. And then refuges, we have different rates, and muzzleloader, we have different rates. We don't have that for antelope. So we looked at that a little bit more closely. And that is the result of maybe some of these changes and why we were a little bit more conservative with an increase here. So eastern side of the range, populations actually were either stable or decreasing. The western side is where we saw the increase, and particularly in the southwest. So you'll see some of these license reductions, such as the Fort Pierre National Grasslands going from 10 to 5 access permits, and similarly 10 to 5 rifle licenses in that unit. A lot of those decreases were on the eastern side of the pronghorn range, which is still predominantly West River, but the east side of West River. Definitely some increases, though. Butte, Lawrence County, Custer, Pennington. The south side of Perkins, as Andy pointed out, we're actually in a maintained level there in southern Perkins, so things looking really good there. One area where we would have liked to increase was in Fall River, Custer, right in the southwest corner, where we saw the biggest increase, but that was also identified as one of the units that we were most aggressive as far as harvesting a percent of bucks. So we didn't increase that, even though their counts were much higher there. Wanted to be a little conservative to try to maintain a decent age structure for bucks over there. So today, with these license number changes that you see on the tables here, there would need to be action if the commission agrees to adopt these license number changes as administrative action, no rule change, and then those license numbers would be implemented and go into our draws for residents and non-residents. So with that, could take any questions.
Any questions of the commission? We have a recommendation. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I want to thank the department for keeping online with his antelope, and I think it is headed in the right direction, and I was very pleased to see some of these units that were cut back, and I moved to make a motion to accept.
All right, we have a motion to adopt. Do we have a second? Second by Bartling. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I fully support. Just before the commission, excuse me. Just looking at the numbers with no doe kill for 2 years, I was kind of expecting a little, maybe a little bigger bump, I guess, in the overall population. If you're in agreement with that, do you have any thoughts? I mean, we talked during times of drought, there's not a lot of cover for those little ones to hide from coyotes and whatnot. Anyway, just kind of wondering what your perspective, if it's a coyote problem or a coyote problem.
Through the chair. Yeah, that one's difficult. The one thing we know we've definitely seen, so harvest wouldn't be impacting it. There could be some theory on disturbance that's affecting breeding with archery hunters, firearm hunters that occurring during the rut, but there's really no evidence of that occurring in South Dakota. What we do see biologically is fawn ratios are really low. So those are at, Andy would have just presented it, but off the top of my head, I'd say 15 to 20 fawns per doe below the long-term averages. And we've seen that for several years. I believe last year we bumped up a little bit and we were really optimistic since we were getting some good moisture, as I mentioned with turkeys earlier. Wasn't even back to the long-term average, even though we had good moisture 2 years ago and last year. This year, obviously, not getting great moisture, so the fawn ratios went back down, and we're seeing low fawn recruitment, probably a product of habitat, and certainly there could be some predation. It's just chicken or an egg type thing, whether it's the habitat's there, would there be no predation, or is it just the predators are there and would get after the fawns anyway? Deputy Wildlife Division Director showing me a figure right now that has the, yeah, it has the bump where we went up a little bit in 2024, and then 2025 we're down at 50 fawns per doe. So I believe usually our average that we had used before was 60, 65. So we're down quite a bit. We're seeing the same type of trend in sage grouse. We just completed counts on those, and they're just at a precipitous decline in the last 10 years, and very similar overlapping sage steppe type habitat that's probably been compromised a little bit in western South Dakota.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think that this commissioner spring, I think that these dry years have been one of the bigger problems with the antelope, because there's no cover for the fawns. The fawns are in my area, and it's no problem to see a fawn of the long distance laying on a hillside, where when you have the wetter years, they're right in the grass, you don't see them. I think the predators have no problem finding them. I think predators, the coyotes are part of your problem, why the low number of fawn survival.
Any other comments? All right, hearing none, we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, it is carried. Thank you, Andy and Andrew.
Thank you.
And we